We've got to take more accountability for what we allow to happen and what we do and what we want to happen. And there's got to be checks and balances in our processes.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, Eric, what problem are we going to solve today? I mean, you're here, you're the guest. We might as well have a podcast that talks about some live problems. How's your schedule going? You finally got this thing under control a little bit?
Yeah, I really like the one schedule setup. So instead of bouncing back and forth, I really have focused on less busyness this last year, since the summit last year, went back and implemented that into our schedule. It took a little bit of fine tuning for the associate to not feel like he wasn't busy enough. And so we're still designing it with his stronger schedule, but I think he has a little more wiggle room to produce than the numbers that he'd like to. I only work 2 days a week in each practice. And so those 2 days are very full for me and busy. It's harder to fill an associate 4 days a week or 5 days a week. And we've been able to do that. But that has taken some...
You're saying just because of the size of the practice, being able to fill their schedule, is that what you're referring to, more or less?
Yes, because we went from a two-doctor office to a three-doctor office. And then I was kind of spending some more time in another practice, my other practice out in the woods in Garden Valley.
So you really went to a two-doctor plus two-day practice.
Yeah, we ended up changing.
You added two-doctor days.
We added two-doctor days.
Yes, you added two-doctor days, which isn't a huge chunk of growth. Where was y'all's expectation that the two-doctor days of dentistry was going to come from?
Internal sources of asking for references or referrals.
Meaning more patients.
More patients.
And
well, actually, we tried to do more dentistry on the few patients we had or fewer well-planned visits. And that works well. But also, I think that there's a certain amount of just attrition in a practice. And for us, I feel like we have to grow about 30 new patients a month between the two of us, primarily for my associate. And when we hit that number, everything works out fine as far as our...
I think this is I'd like to dive down this.
Yeah, there's a lot we can unpack right here. I like it.
Eric, how long have you been practicing now?
16 years.
So 15 years, let's call it. Okay. All right. So for those of you that are in that 10 to 15 year spot, one of the challenges that we run into is that our practice has become full because we've attracted X number of new patients over the years and our recall has taken over. And we often forget about this thing called attrition. Attrition happens because people move. We're in a day and age where people move more often. Attrition happens because people stop liking us for whatever reason. People have their own changes as well. And then sometimes attrition happens because they change insurances or we change insurances. And so
they die too. You forgot about that one.
Well, I'm trying not to be...
Oh, sorry. There's that one.
There is that one. People do die. But those kind of things that happen, right? And I think your numbers are maybe a little bit on the low end there. I don't think 30 is the real number. I think it's probably closer to 40 to 50 maybe even, but 30 to 40 is a fair number. And so the challenge that I see in practice that are 10 plus years old is they've stopped prioritizing new patients. And then what that leads to is this slow degradation in our practices. And the other challenge that happens in the 10 plus year old practice is that you've done a lot of the dentistry on most of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's less and less dentistry to be done. There's always still dentistry to be done. Things break, things wear out. Mm-hmm. At the 15 year mark, your dentistry you did year one is probably time to be updated, right? But
I'd be stoked if the dentistry that I did year one lasted 15 years.
I know. But yeah, I'm being generous.
I know. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So we don't prioritize new patients. And I see this over and over and over again in conversations with dentists, people in our mastermind. And it's why we're so focused on new patient priorities. It's not because we don't value our old patients. we value replacing the ones that we're losing that we don't remember or don't realize. And we also value continued new blood and growth in our offices. So what do you have in place to ensure that you get your 30 new patients a month?
Well, the last 2 weeks, we've been focusing on consistent asks for our existing patients for referrals. So we put a big blow-up paddleboard right at the entrance. So people, and it says, hey, ask us about referrals or winning this prize. And so that's our cue to have that conversation. We printed out a bunch of new business cards that have a special $17 come into the office for a limited exam, 77 with a cleaning. And we give those to, I try to do two a day on my 2 days, so four a week. And then what's different this week and last week is we do a weekly assessment meeting of how we do, or we're keeping score. And that's a new thing for us is I just did this book called The 12-Week Year, where it talks about having 12-week goals instead of year goals. And then trying to have a weekly assessment meeting every Tuesday, and in our case, that we see how we did. The reason why sports is fun to watch is because there's a score. Without a score, it's hard to follow. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're being intentional with that. I don't know the other ways that I can grow new patients. I'd love to hear that. Back up for one second,
then we can talk about growing.
Okay. Yeah, I think the problem is, and this is what you're probably wanting to allude to, T-Bone, is that we focus so much on this idea that we have to grow, or that we have to grow new patients, or that there's not a we're not doing a good job of promoting that we're accepting new patients. But I think ultimately what we see more often is that it's in some offices it is the need for new patients, but what the real holdback is the availability for new patients.
Okay. Step one in this whole process, like if you decide that you want to do this, step one is creating the space and the schedule.
Correct.
We did that. We created the blocks of, we've got new patient blocks in hygiene.
And you got 30 of them.
Yes.
Okay. Or 40 or whatever the number is. Okay. So that's always step one. So to everybody listening, when you start noticing this attrition, or you're like, oh my God, I need to grow my practice and I need to get some new blood in there or whatever it may be, step one is you got to create the blocks. Okay, and it's got to be a priority block that these are the new patient times. And then what we've seen is in many practices, that in of itself is enough to get the volume of new patients they need in the door. Because now we've created a space for all the people that we've said no to, or the people that we've pushed out so far. Hey, our next new patient visit's 2 months from now. Okay, and those patients are like, well, I'll just go somewhere else.
I mean, that's what I would do. Like, if I called somewhere, like if I called to get my haircut, because a haircut's not much different than a cleaning as far as like when people want to get it done, and they were like, "Yeah, we can't see you for
the hygienist listening are just
3 weeks." I'd be like, "Well, that's the reality of the situation." Yeah. Like, if I mean, that's the value that it's put on, and so like if I'm like, "Well, I can't get your haircut for 3 weeks," then I'm like, "Okay, I'll just call the next person."
I don't want to go on a tangent. The value, I think that we have allowed it to be less valuable than a haircut. Because it's your free cleaning.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah. Right, it costs $65 or whatever now to get a haircut.
I pay 25.
You're getting a deal. That's because you prepay for the year, I think.
I prepay every month.
You probably get a deal for that. If I was on the club, I would probably.
I need a different hair club. But let's keep going back to what we're here for. So step one is you got to create the space. And often that in of itself will fix the new patient flow problem. Now, when that doesn't fix the new patient flow problem, the next step is now we have to attract new patients.
Meaning you're having blocks that are staying open or not getting filled.
Correct.
And then the question, this is also, I think, where accountability comes in, because what I'll see as well is that the doctor will have laid out the blocks will be in place, and then the team will tell them that they're following the blocks, but then those blocks are getting covered up.
Okay.
So the availability actually still is part of the problem, because they're not, we put them in, but we're not honoring the sacredness of those blocks. So I would be looking back and seeing, okay, if I look back at the last month, how many blocks just stayed open, how many blocks were filled with recare, and how many blocks were actually held in with new patients.
You should call your office, Eric, or have somebody call your office one day and be a new patient and find out how quickly can they get it.
Okay.
You know, but if they say it's 3-4 weeks, that shouldn't make sense, right? I mean, it should be within a week. If you actively have the blocks, if you believe that we're maintaining the blocks. And what I find hygienists and team members are very guilty of squeezing in the recall patient over the new patient because that's a patient they have a relationship with, and I hate telling them that I can't see them. So that may be happening. But let's move to attracting new patients. What are some ways to attract new patients? So internal referrals are the best. Always when we can refer somebody, that's always the best.
That's what we're focusing because that's what we know.
Yeah. I'm personally not a big fan of the specials.
Okay.
Not that specials don't work, but the special in my practice, I take your insurance.
Yeah.
Like that's enough of a special as it is, right? So where you're discounting an already discounted procedure and you're discounting a procedure that most people get essentially for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't believe that we need to do specials. I don't believe that should be our number one or first attempt at it. What are some other ways?
What we're doing now, one of the things we're doing is we've got a VIP card.
Okay.
It's something we started that I'm pretty excited about. And it's literally like a wallet card that basically we give them out to our patients or the patients we want to refer, right? We'll give them 5 or 6 cards. And for every card, and we write the patient's name on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And so for every patient they refer, we get the card that says, hey, this is Eric Ballou's card. We send them, I think, a $20 Starbucks gift card. And then the patient that brings it in gets a $5, or a $10 Starbucks gift card. So that way, there's an incentive, obviously, for the patient to remember the card and bring it in because they get something. They don't get something as big. And then there's a incentive for the person giving it out that they get something. And that's been pretty good so far. Just as it's not an inexpensive way. It makes the patient feel special because they say, like, thanks for being a VIP. We'd love for you to send more VIPs this way. And just a little incentive thing that we're doing. So that's, and I like that one from a standpoint of I don't pay anything outside of having the cards made until there's actually deliverable, right?
Okay.
Until we're actually getting the patient.
Then you go to Starbucks, buy a bunch of gift cards.
Yeah.
And you want to pull something up on the screen here?
No. I'm a little embarrassed by it because it's dated, but...
Yeah, that's okay.
So this is...
Shows you how long you've been doing it.
All right. We can pull it up.
Pull that one in.
So this is from like 2005 and 6. And so this is what's called a tearaway card. So it's like a long sheet. And at the bottom,
oh yeah,
you tear away the card here, right? And so, like right here, it has a refer a friend or anything like that, and then it has a little bit about our practice. So we give this away to the patient, and then that way they can give it to somebody with the offer on it, a little bit about our practice, and then the patient could tear away that card from there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like that. I mean, we're just giving this card right now that I don't even have one with me. I think I do. But it just has two offerings, and it doesn't really say as much of what we do.
That big card is it's big for your patients to carry that around.
Yeah.
I argue your patients don't want to carry this around either.
I don't think they will. Yeah. It's just a reminder that, hey, we are attracting new patients. We're asking. I'm always surprised when patients say, are you taking new patients?
Yeah.
Like somebody actually says, no, we're that busy.
Yeah, I think I don't think we need to incentivize the new customer with a deal. I think we need to incentivize the action of referring.
Well, and this goes back to one of my big pet peeves right now too, is that our focus of how we attract new patients needs to be more directed at some sort of niche. Like what I don't like about that card is that the two things you're promoting here are a $17 problem focused exam. Which that's not bad because that can turn into some level of productive dentistry and then a cleaning, right? Because in essence, what I want to be, I just think there's so much volume of marketing going towards that area in our profession that it's just a massive race to the bottom.
Yeah.
Whereas like
I'm missing out on the hey, we do implants.
Yes.
Do
yes. Nor do you want more.
Right.
Hygiene just cleanings anyways. Like that's not.
Not necessarily, and
sure there's benefit to building the base, but we'd like to build the benefit of build that base with people that need some or willing to spend money on some level of dentistry, not just somebody who's looking for a cheap cleaning that could then just be a revolving.
I remember I did Groupon when Groupon was big or first.
Yeah.
And I got like hundreds of patients and then none of them came back for the recall because they did another Groupon.
Right.
Somewhere else, right?
And they had no intention of really doing dentistry.
Yeah. And that's what they were there for, right? And so there's a so internal is the first step, right? Now we got to get new paid. I've got the space in the schedule. It's not getting filled.
Okay.
And my team, I'm holding my team accountable that they're holding it. Okay. Now I've got to get, I got to track more patients. Got to get more phone calls, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get more contacts, right? So the step one is internal marketing. Letting your existing base know that you're happy to accept new patients. Okay. Another aspect of it is, what are you doing on social media? Like, are we letting the community know that we're looking for patients? Like, we got to shout it from the rooftop. And one of the fears I used to have is, I don't want people to think I'm not busy or that we're desperate or any of those things. And we're past that stage, right? It's the reality is, it's we have to promote. We got to promote ourselves as existing. So we have to be consistently letting people know that the challenge with social media is only maybe 5 to 10% of your followers or people actually see your message. So you have to put the message out there on a consistent basis. So you almost need to post that, hey, we're still accepting new patients almost every day. It's got to be a consistent message to the community overall.
It's not like someone's coming to your thing and looking through your posts every day. Like, it's in the feed and it's happening, getting laid out like that. This ties into like what you were saying. You know, one of the things we've been talking a lot about is the components of being a successful clinician. And one of those core components is your brand and building. And ultimately, that is what we're talking about, is your brand is what drives new patients specifically for certain procedures. And my assumption is that most of us don't do a good job of establishing what we do or what we want to be known for in our community. Like, your brand is not implant dentist. Your brand is probably more like family practice. And maybe that's changed over the years, but that would be the question that I would look at, is I would say, go to my website, walk through my office, and does my brand or my marketing or my subliminal marketing, does it tell you what I want you to know?
Which one of those would you focus on first? Your website, your social media posts, your frequency of social media posts?
Which gets me the result the fastest, which will always be social media.
Okay.
Because it's immediate. What good is an amazing website if nobody finds it?
Right.
Okay. And SEO, search engine optimization, takes time. Okay. And so the answer is, you got to do a little bit of all of it. But if you're in a position where you need
plug it back in
immediately, then you need to be focused on what gets the result the fastest.
And this is kind of like the whole chicken or the egg thing. Problem is like, the answer is, you need all of them. Like, one's not going to be enough in theory. This is something like that we'll do a lot of times. And if you're not watching, should be, then when you go to, we just Googled Eric practice, Lake Harbor Dental.
That's one of your practices in Boise.
Yeah.
Here's some amazing things. You have a 4.9 Google rating out of 5.
It's great.
That's not great. That's amazing. Okay. And you got 385 reviews. Okay. Now I'm going to ask tough questions. Okay. Where have you shouted from the rooftop that you have a 4.9 rating? So all you would do is you go to these reviews right here, okay? Let's see, reviews, okay? And the reviews are amazing, okay? And you'd make a review image of each one of these things. And you'd post that on social media every day for 385 days, and then you start over again with the same reviews. And you'd never end. And you would just shout out from the community, 4.9 stars out of 5. And then you'd have the review itself, okay?
I think some components of this, caveats that I would give, is I would also want to look and see, okay, I would want to scroll down and see, like, in the map section, what is my competition at?
Yeah.
Because this is also relative, right? Because if you're 385 reviews, but all the offices around you are 1,000 reviews, then it's...
Yeah, but from a perspective of making the content.
Yeah, oh no, yes, absolutely. But I'm just saying that's a perspective to think about. The other thing, talk about the keywords, because I think the keywords is a really good...
Yeah.
What your internal brand is telling people, basically.
So let's take a look. Again, all great things, by the way. Okay? So now I'm going to scroll up here a little bit, okay? And we're going to see what your reviews say.
I'm going to go to a consult. Y'all just keep going.
Okay, no problem. So now, here's what your reviews are saying. cleaning is the number one review comment. Okay. So what that tells me is you're getting known for cleanings.
Okay.
Okay. Desk. I don't know what desk is, but probably talking about the front desk.
Yes, some about the front desk.
Technology, questions, plan, expertise, Invisalign, sleep, skilled, job. Okay. So again, you're doing good. But what I would want, if I'm in your situation, is I would want Invisalign to be 22, not cleaning. I'd want sleep to be 22, not cleaning. So when we start, so there's some form of asking for reviews here in your practice. Mm-hmm. I would start asking patients to leave reviews about
specific things.
So, and say, and actually be so bold as to say, be sure to mention
sleep
Invisalign or sleep apnea or snoring in your review. Because that way Google will see that. And then when somebody types in sleep, Invisalign, Lake Harbor, and you're only six of those, but somebody else is 22, it's more likely for me to show up. Okay. Now, if I did this on me, what you'll start seeing, and on desk, I would actually have team members start asking the patients to leave their name in the review.
Okay.
Okay, because that's where people are. That tells me that somebody's standing out and people are remembering them. Okay, so that's kind of some of the things that we look at here. Number one, 385 reviews is a good number. Okay, there'll always be people with more. There'll always be a lot of people with less. Okay, 4.9 is amazing. That's essentially basically means you got one-star review somewhere. We all have bad people that don't like us. Okay, and then we just look through these. Okay, and then the other thing I see is we're not replying to any of these. We don't reply to any of these. I'm not saying I do either.
Yeah. But again, someone should.
Somebody should, okay? Because that basically tells Google that you're not active.
Okay.
Okay? And so it's amazing, but these little things take time to be effective,
mm-hmm.
okay? But those are some of the things that I would look at as one, does your walls say that we're accepting new patients? So you got the paddle board there or the paddle or whatever it is, okay?
Yeah.
So that's one way of letting people know. The next way is, are you incentivizing them to send you somebody? Not necessarily discounting the person getting sent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number three is are you shouting it from the rooftops to your community that we're looking for new patients?
And that shouting from the rooftops usually should occur through social media.
Well, that's the free way to do it.
Okay,
I mean you can do it through paid avenues, right? You can do it through Google AdWords, social media ads.
How useful have those been? Because I've spent a lot of money on that in the past,
yeah,
and I just don't know the best way to track.
Yeah. Well, that's a deep, longer conversation, right?
Yeah.
But in general, if you're promoting cleanings, you're fighting every dentist, okay? So you're going to have less success. And the challenge with cleanings is the reward, the return is low,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's a low-dollar procedure. And you're spending X dollars to get the lead. And people see you talk about lifetime value, and there's some value in that. But, you know, I don't think patients stick around 10, 15 years anymore. You know, they leave.
They move.
Okay? They die, according to Sully, right? I would tell you, before we spend any money, I would do the free things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because those are important to do, okay, is to do the free things in all of that.
So make the schedule available.
And make
call
sure
and double check that that's getting done.
That's correct.
And then follow up on it maybe the last month to see how many of those spots stayed hygiene spots.
Oh, we hope they don't stay open. Part of what we teach is that when you create a block, you have a way that the block gets overridden.
Okay.
You got to have a timeline. Maybe that's 1 day in advance. Maybe that's 2 days in advance. Maybe that's 3 days in advance. Okay. So we don't want
holes, but we do want to see that those 30 spots were filled with either new patients or a recovered patient.
Yes, but we don't want that recovery to happen 3 weeks in advance.
Okay.
And my guess is, again, it's a guess, is that that's happening more often than you realize.
Okay.
Okay? Is that they're saying, well, we're not going to fill that new patient spot. It's okay if I steal this one. Hygienist one. How many hygienists you have?
I have four.
Four. So each hygienist, that's okay.
I have 11 days of hygiene.
If it's each, you have four humans, okay, each hygienist says, it's okay if I take one of the new patient blocks to fit this recall in, but that's four, okay? And if they do that once per week, that's 16 a month that you've just given away because, oh, I've only taken one. And that's how that happens oftentimes, is that it gets stolen from that perspective.
Okay. So do the availability, ask for referrals and reviews at the same time, but specifically for the reviews
Let's separate that out.
Okay.
Okay. Create the space in your schedule. Okay, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, now we have to go to internal ways of getting patients, the free internal ways. And now underneath that, one is asking for referrals, okay?
And asking for referrals right now, we have an offer for new patients.
No, that's fine.
But it doesn't describe what we do well. And so your advice is have some kind of tear off, maybe.
That's not necessarily my advice. That's okay. What I did 2005, 2006.
So okay.
That
was an idea.
That was an idea that was, again, before social media existed, before lots of things were around. Okay. That's what I did back then.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of offers. Okay. It's just not what I am. Right. So asking referrals and making it easy for them to give you a referral. I don't think you need to tell them what you do. Okay. I don't think you need to sell yourself. The fact that if I referred you to Tesla.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I give you a sheet on what Tesla was?
No, you just let me drive your car.
I just said, this is Tesla.
Yeah.
I like Tesla. You should like Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That should be enough. Okay. You don't need to give them a booklet. You don't need to give them all that stuff. Because if you need all that for a referral, for it to matter, that's not a good referral.
Okay.
It's not a strong referral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think just the word of mouth, just letting people know that you have availability for new patients.
Okay.
Okay. That should be enough. Okay. The second thing is I want you, and this is an order of getting the results. Okay. I want you to shout it from the rooftops that we're accepting new patients. And in 2024 and probably for beyond, the best way to shout it and the quickest way is using social media. It's nearly free. Okay, but you got to do it consistently and often. We often feel like, well, I did post it. I'm accepting new patients. How often did you post it? Well, I did it once a week. I'm like, well, 10 people saw that. Okay, you got to post it daily, 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 daily. Okay, and so there's that. Okay, now how do you create some of that content?
Which format is more important for you that you've noticed between Facebook or Instagram?
What kind of patient are you looking for? What's the demographic difference between Facebook and Instagram? Instagram is known for what age people?
Millennials.
Millennials. Is that what you're
and
trying to attract?
Younger, too.
Are you trying to attract that?
Sure, now.
Now, okay. So then that would be a great platform for you. Okay. So to me, the platform, number one, has to be with what demographic. It's shocking to me, Eric, you didn't say Snapchat.
Yeah, it's because I'm not familiar with it.
But because what demographic uses Snapchat? My kids.
Yeah.
My teenagers, like, what good would I do selling my practice on Snapchat to my kids? I'm not trying to, if I'm an orthodontist.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If I'm a pediatric dentist, absolutely.
But I'm not trying to grow that.
So. You're not trying to grow that, correct?
No.
So the platform, one, has to be the demographic that you're after, but also part of the platform has to be the platform that you're actually active in.
Okay.
Okay. And that kind of brings me to my next part of new patients is that you have to build a reputation, okay? And your reputation is good. 385 people took time to give you a 5-star review, man. That's pretty damn amazing, okay? Now you have to leverage that to let other people know that, look, I'm pretty badass, okay? And so basically, I'm going to try to find one real quick here, and then Sully can put it on the screen. But I'm going to try to find you a Google review image template. And then basically you take those 385 reviews, you turn it into an image, and then Canva will let you do any number of things. So imagine here's a template, okay? 5 out of 5 stars, Google, you put your logo there, and here's the review. You make three, you literally could pay somebody in Indonesia, India, XYZ country, to make all 385 of these for you for $500.
You could pay somebody in America too, Eric.
Yeah, that too. Okay. But I'm just saying, if you want it done inexpensive, if I get AI to do it.
That is true. Yes.
Okay. And you can have all of these done, and then you can use a scheduling software that'll dump all of these out one every day and just keep rotating these day in and day out. And you can, in theory, flood your market your feed, and then you can put a couple of dollars behind it to get it to go out to other people so that more people know, and you're not just saying, come to me for a cleaning.
No, I really like that idea, because we had set a goal last couple of weeks with our 12-week goals of social media content twice a week. And what I'm hearing is that's not enough.
Depending on what you're trying to do.
Okay. But one of the, if we wanted to do a third or a fourth, it's as easy as just pulling one of our reviews and posting it and just saying, hey, we have great reviews here, wonderful patients. We're looking for more.
Like, Eric, like when you're in Nashville today, okay, let's pretend you're going to go find a place to eat tonight. Yeah. How are you going to find it?
Google.
Okay. You know. You want to eat Thai food tonight.
I'm really going to just ask.
Yeah, but let's pretend we're gone, okay? But you want Thai food.
I love Thai food.
This is what I do. Yeah. I Google Thai restaurant near me. How do I choose which Thai restaurant to go to?
You open it up and you look at the reviews and you look for the worst reviews to see if those are...
Right, but I look at the reviews, correct? Mm. So now let people know that it's a compelling reason. That I don't go and read their menu because they all say the same thing. Yeah. Have you noticed that when you go to Chinese restaurants, the menu is the exact same?
Yeah.
Every one of them.
And Thai.
Okay, and so it's all the same stuff. So how do you know the differentiation? That you read the reviews. And so you want to read the reviews. You want to tell people the reviews out there. That's the easiest and fastest way to do it. And you just, every day, one review, and you just repeat again at the end of 385 days.
Okay. How do you get your patients to like you on Facebook or on Instagram?
Well, you ask them. You grab the phone and click like for them, okay? The other way is you create compelling content that they want to see, okay? Another way is you run a contest. One of the most effective things we did for gaining likes we put a contest up with a Yeti box, a Yeti cooler. I don't know, how much are those things? $100?
Like 300. Similar to what you're doing with your Tad Award or something.
Yeah, and then say, hey, do you want to win this? Like our, follow us on Instagram.
Okay.
Follow us on Facebook, whatever, follow, like, whatever it is, right? Us on Instagram, and we'll pick one of our followers.
So we could use that same prize that we have out there, the paddleboard, and say, you can
one way to
get a referral. Another way is just like us on.
Or do a TV. Do a $300 TV or $200, whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody, do it.
The paddleboard is good because it's about
$300 Amazon gift card.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, people will do it for almost anything. And that's one way. But the challenge with that I see, Eric, is those aren't necessarily people interested in your services.
No. But the only point would be if you have more likes on your Facebook, then it's going to, when it posts, it's going to be a bigger audience.
I'll go back to everybody. It's both. It's all of it. There's no silver bullet. That's the challenge. It's like if you said, well, what's made you successful? What's been the best marketing successful thing? It's like it's the combination approach of all of it. Yes.
The amplification of any marketing is reputation.
Right. So it never hurts to build the base of your Facebook reviews, your Instagram likes, your Google reviews, like all these things are next door. Those are amplifications of your reputation. And that is important.
Yeah.
And then that way, and then ultimately, when you start marketing and spending money, the driver is your website. That is where people are going to go, because the review is the first one, the website's the second one. And then ultimately, because it's amazing to me how, like, the buying process used to be, and we've talked about this in an earlier podcast, I think, that Mercedes used to do a deal where to buy a car, they needed so many touch points. This is back in like the 60s, that it would require 10 touch points before they would. For a buyer would usually say yes to a car. And that was very different back then because that required a lot more physical touch points. People wouldn't come in ready to buy and walk off the lot. You fast forward to today and everything has changed.
Yeah, you can go on Google and find anything you want.
Most people show up ready to buy. I mean, like, it's amazing how many big cases we close where they're not, they've already learned about, we've already, our reputation from our web presence is already essentially solidified. They just want to make sure that that checks out. And so
make sure you're legit.
Yeah. And make sure that there's some level of rapport or something in person. Otherwise, they're buying the same day. That's a very unique situation to kind of how things have been in the past. And that, I think, is because of the well-roundedness of your online presence as it pertains to reputation, and then having a really strong website that tells your story, why your practice is different, what's unique about the practice, why they should pick you for this type of dentistry, all those things. So there is no real, you have to take a multidisciplinary approach. But I do think that you can't, I don't think you should be spending a lot of money on external marketing until you've tied up at least that to some level of making it look good. Because otherwise, all that marketing is going to refer to those sources, and then you're just going to lose people initially because you don't have that brand and reputation established.
I'm amazed that when I come out here and visit with you guys, I feel like I spent enough time with you throughout a year that I think I've got to know already that they're pearls. And every time I come out, I
just the iceberg.
Something else that's just motivating, that just helps me take it back and improve my practice a little bit. So if I want to summarize, if I can summarize
it, we're signing off.
Then my first action item is call this weekend. One of you call my office and find out how far out we are with our new patient.
Always interesting to see, yeah.
Go back to the office, make sure that those 30 or 40 blocks are allotted. Work on our reviews as far as using that as content for our social media.
Work on your reviews.
No, we don't need to work.
I want you to work.
Continue to ask for reviews.
Yes, I want
and specific
work on
questions.
Shouting to the community, we take new patients.
Okay,
that's the problem with that's the action step. Using leveraging reviews as content to help shout to the community that we're taking new patients.
And at least once a week of our, let's say, 5-7 day schedule of social media, that one of those once a week is at least we're attracting new patients. Yeah. And then continue to build our brand, what we do and how we do it on social media.
I have some questions and then we can sign off.
All right. Yeah. I have your questions.
Some questions on another topic too.
We can do a second.
Similar.
Yeah. But to build on this, how many video testimonials do you have of your patients?
Zero. Well, I've done about 20 throughout the years and I just don't do anything with them.
So these are the things. And what we feel is we have to keep getting new video testimonials. Just recycle those 20.
Yeah.
Every week, just run those 20 and then restart them. You think people remember what they saw 6 months ago?
No.
No. So those 20 reviews is enough to cycle through twice a year.
Okay.
Okay? And just put this shit on automatic, man. Just put it out there.
Okay.
Just consistently get out there. Last thing, okay, because we're talking about ways to get new patients. Okay, and notice we haven't said spend any money on external marketing, right? Another way that's poo-pooed in dentistry is you consider signing up for insurance plans. Okay, that is another relatively fast way to get new patients in the door. Okay, it comes with problems, it comes with pluses and minuses, but it's not to be left off as a way to drive new patients to your practice.
Okay,
all right. Anything else, Sully?
No, but just. There, like, you know, on your homepage of your website, there's really nothing that highlights the type of dentistry that you want to
be known for.
I mean, the thing that popped up on the pop-up as I got in was your cleaning specials, right? So I think that, again, I think it's a matter of highlighting that stuff. When I go to services, for example, dental implants isn't even a service. Patient resources, make a payment, Invisalign, same day crowns, teeth whitening, CEREC dentistry, root canal, veneers, dental cleanings, and dentures. So I don't even know that you, if I even go to your website, I don't even know that
we do implants.
You do one of the things that you,
that's wild.
Okay. You love to do. So
it's humbling, dude. If we do it with mine, I'm not going to be happy either.
Yeah.
But that would be my kind of wrap up point is, what I think, and this is going to tie into what I'm excited about T-Bone talking about at the summit, because he's talking about leadership and whatnot, is that we've got to take more accountability for what we allow to happen and what we do and what we want to happen. And there's got to be checks and balances in our processes. We've got to routinely look at things like our website, walk through it as a patient. We've got to follow up to make sure that our team members aren't breaking the blocks. We got to follow up that We have to audit our schedules, audit the what our associates are diagnosing, how they're treatment planning. We have to audit these things. that is what leadership is all about. Like, it's not, you can't just lead by example all the time. You have to keep accountability to this stuff. And so to me, it's one of those things that, like, we've delegated this website to somebody hoping they would just do.
Yeah.
But there's no accountability from the leaders to make sure that it's carrying out the vision that we want. And so I think that is an area where we all have to continue to improve. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was great to have these two wonderful special guests on. We'll probably record again later maybe and have another episode. But yeah, work smarter, not harder, everybody. And we will see you either in person or we better see you online for the 3D Summit, May 2nd and 3rd. I'll be there. Take it easy, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.